from the National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week on Register Radio, we'll talk with writer Carlos Caso Rosendi in Buenos Aires, Argentina, about the election of Pope Francis, the Church in Argentina, and what we might expect from our new Holy Father. We'll also talk with Father Jamal Cotter. He is a Palestinian Christian, and we'll talk about President Obama's first visit to Israel and what it might mean for Palestinians and for Christians suffering throughout the region. Welcome to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Jeanette DeMello. She is editor-in-chief of the Register. And Jeanette, it's good to be back after a two-week hiatus because of our papal coverage. Welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Our guest, Father Jamal, is our first up. He is from a Christian Palestinian village in the northern part of the West Bank. He has a doctorate in theology from the Pontifical Gregorian University in Rome. Father Jamal is a member of the Theological Reflection Committee of the Latin Patriarchate and of the Committee of Dialogue with Jews. He was an author of the 2009 Kairos Palestine document, which calls Israeli occupation of Palestine a sin against God. Father Jamal is the chairperson of the Department of Religious Studies and the Dean of Arts at Bethlehem University in Bethlehem. Father Jamal is currently teaching two courses at Princeton Theological Seminary in New Jersey. Father Jamal, welcome to Register Radio.
Thank you.
This week, President Obama is visiting. He made his first visit to Israel. His trip included a visit to Bethlehem, which is where you're a professor at Bethlehem University. Can you tell us what President Obama's trip might mean to those in Bethlehem?
President Obama was in Bethlehem, and he spent 26 minutes at the Church of the Nativity. That was all his visit to Bethlehem. It was meant to be for the Church of the Nativity where Jesus Christ was born, and many Palestinians wished that he would stay longer and meet with the people there, but unfortunately he left immediately. He visited Jerusalem, and he visited Ramallah, and he had meetings with our President Mahmoud Abbas.
Can you tell us a little bit about the situation in Bethlehem?
Bethlehem is practically surrounded by the separation wall. It separates it from Jerusalem, and the wall is being built right now west of Bethlehem, separating the Christian community from their land. And the economic situation is very difficult with high rate of unemployment and with especially lack of any perspective for a near peace in the region. So still we are living under Israeli military occupation where Israel controls all aspects of life, the economy, the freedom of movement, the freedom to reach holy places in Jerusalem, and many other aspects of our lives. So the situation is not peaceful, people there need to change reality on the ground and to be free in their own country. So that's, in few words, the situation in Bethlehem and in the Palestinian territories.
And you mentioned that you had hoped, or the people of Bethlehem had hoped, that President Obama would have spent more time there. What are some of the expectations of the United States in President Obama's new term?
We had hopes in the first term, especially after the speech of Cairo. But nothing happened during 4 years. So we are afraid of raising our expectations. We had, disappointments, too many times. So what we expect from President Obama is to follow what he said about ending occupation with action on the ground, just to give hope. It's not with a speech that you give hope to young people. It is by changing reality on the ground. So what is the plan? How can we work all together to have a better future in the Middle East? And this begins by ending occupation, by stopping settlements, the major obstacle to any future peace. Because with settlements and with the increase of number of settlers and settlements, it will be impossible to have a viable Palestinian state. So we expect a lot from the United States. What I saw during that visit is an unconditional support to Israel. I'm afraid the Israeli government will understand it in an unconditional support for its policy in settlements too. So the United States can help giving hope to the new generations by changing reality on the ground.
And what else are you asking of the international community? There's been some talk of boycotts and such. What can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. Everyone in the international community talks about two-state solution. Now, we have the state of Israel. Everyone recognizes the state of Israel, including the Palestinians. It's about time to help create a Palestinian state. Buying products of settlements will encourage occupation. Cooperation economically with the occupation will not help creating a Palestinian state. That's why we call for a boycott of products of settlements. So it will be a clear message to Israel to end its occupation and colonization of the West Bank. It's a way of making pressure to end occupation and not to delegitimize Israel, of course. So it is important for us to follow deeds, words with deeds, meaning that if the international community is for two-state solution, they should not encourage settlements and occupation of the West Bank. That's the call for BDS, boycott, divestment, and sanctions. Divestment from those companies who support occupation directly in building settlements, building the wall, and controlling the lives of the Palestinians.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about the Christian population there in Israel?
We are talking here about Israel and Palestine. The Christian population is small in numbers. We are talking here about 2%, but this does not reflect the reality of that lively Christian community with all its institutions, with dozens of Christian schools, with a university, with hospitals. So it is a lively community serving everybody and giving hope to people, especially those in need. And, of course, you can see the Christian presence much more than the 2% with the holy places, with all the work of the churches.
So what you're saying is that the Christians play a rather large role, even though they're a small population.
That's true. And we hope to play a role also in a future reconciliation between Palestinians and Israelis. Not because we are, a third part. No, we are Palestinians. But we believe in the values of the gospel. We believe in justice. We believe in peace. And we work in our daily life for peace and justice in the Holy Land.
And can you elaborate a little bit more how the Christian view might be different from the other religious views in that region on peace?
We have, we believe in justice, and we believe in the commandment of love. Love, it is a costly commandment, and we love, we try to love everyone, including our enemies. Now, we translate this love into a resistance to evil, to injustice, to humiliation. And I see a lot of Palestinians, Muslims too, who believe in nonviolence. Using violence will not give results. And we saw, unfortunately, that the peace process did not give results also. So what we believe in is a nonviolent resistance to the evil of occupation. And here we are joined by many people to help those in need and to give hope for the future and to build a better society in Palestine. For example, a lot of Christians are working in NGOs, in human rights, in those fields that help. So there is a difference, of course, but we do not work alone. We work with all those with goodwill to have a better society. And the major issue for us here is to give hope for future generations. What's going on the ground does not give hope. You know, it sends a message to the Palestinians that peace is not possible. Peace will not come. That's why our work is difficult but important at the same time for young people.
And what has been the response of the Jewish people to this collaboration and this request for dialogue?
We can never generalize about the Jewish people. There are those really courageous Jews who show solidarity with the Palestinians, who are in favor of peace with the Palestinians. Unfortunately, in politics, we don't see a government that reflects this search for peace. We see a right-wing government supporting settlements and colonization of the West Bank. But I can see many Jews who join us also in a better relationship between Palestinians and Israelis looking for justice and peace. That should be translated should influence the political authorities also to take important decisions to change reality on the ground. Unfortunately, we also see fundamentalism in the three religions, in Judaism, in Islam, and in Christianity, those who want to exclude the others. And this is true of settlers, for example, who pretend that this is their land and the Palestinians have no place for them, no land for them. So we are fighting against fundamentalism and trying to build a better coexistence among Palestinians and Israelis.
This is Jeanette Tamello with Register Radio. I'm here with Father Jamal Cotter. He is from Bethlehem. He is speaking with us today about President Obama's visit. But from the outside, we typically end up seeing through the media this fundamentalism. Is there a message that you would give to us Catholics, to the Christians throughout the world, that would set the record straight from what we see in the media?
Our Catholic faith tells us that God created everyone at his image and likeness, and this gives a human dignity to every human being. You know, basic belief in our Christian faith, and we believe in a God who is loving and a just God towards everyone. So for us Catholics, it's important to see the equality of human beings, the rights of every human being, but not only individually, but also collectively. Palestinians have the right to be independent, to be free in their own country. It's not about violence. It's not about terrorism. It's about the rights of a people to have its own independence and freedom. So Catholics are several times shy in showing solidarity with the Palestinians. Sometimes they give biblical meaning to Israel, like what we saw in the speech of President Obama, talking about Israel as a redemption, the state of Israel. You know, using this biblical terminology is very dangerous. It means that God is with one people against another. That's not the God of Jesus Christ that we believe in. And on the other hand, the Catholic Church is doing a lot in helping the local community to do its mission in education, in schools, in hospitals, etc. They are showing solidarity, concrete solidarity with the Palestinians, and especially with the Catholic Church in the Holy Land. So we expect more from Catholics in advocating for justice for the Palestinians. Being, advocating justice for Palestinians does not mean to be anti-Israeli or anything. No, we want to be for peace for both peoples. Peace, justice, security, prosperity for all the inhabitants of the Holy Land, Jews, Christians, Muslims, Israelis, and Palestinians together. So let us support the cause of peace. And the cause of peace goes through ending occupation, the Israeli military occupation of the Palestinian land. Here we can begin a new future together in the Holy Land.
Father Jamal, thank you so much for being with us today.
You're welcome.
Father Jamal, my thanks as well. When we return, we'll have an inside look into the homeland of our new Holy Father. Should be fascinating. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Michael Warsaw, Chief Executive of EWTN and publisher of the National Catholic Register. We're in a time in history like no other, and our fight for religious freedom and the need for the new evangelization, it's essential to stay connected via the faithful Catholic content delivered by the Register. We've finally been able to help realize Mother Angelica's dream. She always wanted a newspaper as part of EWTN's media apostolate. Why? Because there's an important catechetical opportunity at the intersection of faith and culture. Since the 1920s, the Register has been advancing the truth of the Magisterium. This valuable resource will help you to better understand the faith and deepen your relationship with our Lord. Join the growing ranks of Register subscribers today and access the one source of leading voices and opinions concerning the issues that matter most to you.
To start your subscription to the National Catholic Register today, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register, or call 800-854-6316. That's EWTN.com and click on the Register subscription banner, or call 800-854-6316.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. Along with Jeanette DiMello, I'm Tom Price. Carlos Caso Rosendi is a writer from Buenos Aires in Argentina. He is the founder of the Primera Luz website, which offers Catholic commentary in Spanish, English, and Portuguese. He's been featured on EWTN programs like The Journey Home and Nuestra Fe en Vivo. Now, with the election of the first pope from Latin America, March 13th, Mr. Caso Rosendi has served as the Register's correspondent in Argentina. He's also been a commentator about the church in Argentina and Pope Francis's work in Buenos Aires. Carlos, welcome to Register Radio.
Nice to be here.
Hello, Carlos. Thank you so much for being here with us. You're down in Buenos Aires now. And the news of the election of Cardinal Bergoglio, now Pope Francis, must have been a wonderful thing to witness in his homeland. What have the past few weeks been like in Buenos Aires?
Well, it's been exciting. People are talking a lot about the Pope. The newspapers are filled with images of him and other religious, like Cardinal Sandri or many others that are in Rome. And everyone talks about it, so it's a very positive thing.
So tell us a little bit about what it means to have a pope from Latin America. What does he bring to the Church of Rome?
Well, the way the Holy Spirit works, the origin of the pope is probably not very important. One thing that I think is different from this pope is I think he's going to do a lot to bring light into the problems of Latin American area, just like John Paul II called attention to the Soviet Union and the countries that were behind the Iron Curtain, and the same way that Benedict focused on the European problems of the age. So this is a pope that has a very good analytical mind, and he will surely have very keen observations to make on the situation of Latin America spiritually, politically, and in many other ways.
This is Jeanette DiMello with Register Radio. I'm speaking with Carlos Caso Rosendi in Buenos Aires about Pope Francis. Carlos, can you tell us a little bit more about the church there in Buenos Aires, the church that Cardinal Bergoglio has served for a long time?
Yes, I think, you know, Cardinal Bergoglio has worked to make the church more open. First, he's a person that naturally relates to people in any part of society. You know, he's a man of the people. And at the same time, he is also very open to dialogue with members of other religions. He has a very good rapport with the Jewish community, with the Muslim community here. And he's done a lot to ease the tensions, some of the problems that the country has gone through in the last few decades. And he's a man that has left a church here that is open, a church of open doors, where there are no secrets, no tensions. I believe that he's going to do the same thing in Rome also.
You know, in a recent article, or I guess it was a column in the National Catholic Register, you wrote about his priest, an example of the character of the priests that were formed by Cardinal Bergoglio. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. First, he was very involved in the formation of priests, to the point that he knows in the seminary in Villa Devoto here, I've been told he knew every seminarian by name. He was very involved in their growth, in their formation. And the other thing is that he insists, reminds them that priesthood is first charity, that they are a gift to the community, and they have to consider themselves agents of the mercy of God to the city, and that he has done a very good job in delivering this message to his priests, to the point that they really practice what he preaches by example.
And I think we've seen a wonderful example of his pastoral style already in the way he has acted in Rome. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, he's not a man of many words. But when he speaks, he's very precise, very brief, and he condenses a lot in very few words. He is known to normally speak off the cuff. He doesn't use much prepared speeches and things like that. But a lot of people have mentioned to me, it is amazing how he can expand on a single piece of scripture to get deep moral and spiritual teachings from something that maybe some other person may overlook or deliver the usual interpretation. He's a very deep thinker, and he's well known for providing always the right solution to very complex problems after a very short analysis of it. So it's a gift from the Holy Spirit, obviously.
And I believe you told me once in a conversation that you felt he was a very Marian Pope. What can we expect to see from this Marian character that Pope Francis has?
Well, he is definitely a person that is very close to our Blessed Mother. Right after he was elected, he wanted to go to St. Mary Major and thank Our Lady and to trust the city of Rome and all the believers and all the Catholics in the world to the care of Our Mother. I believe he's going to be instrumental in perhaps defining the dogma of Mary as co-redemptrix. That's my hope, a personal opinion only. But also, while he was Archbishop of Buenos Aires, he has always referred to Our Lady first as a model to follow by all believers. And also, for example, one small detail, in the procession of Corpus Christi, which is a big thing here, as it should be, normally there is not an image of any saint or not an image of the Virgin Mary in the procession, only the corpus. And he is the first here to adopt the ancient custom of having an image of Our Lady follow the corpus right behind. It's a wonderful way to show his close relationship with Our Blessed Mother.
Carlos, thank you so much for being with us today. We look forward to your continued coverage in the National Catholic Register. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My thanks as well, Carlos. Don't forget you can listen to our show again by going to ncregister.com. Be sure to look for the picture of the microphone to listen to or download the show. Thanks for joining us here on Register Radio. For all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jim and Joy Pinto for Marriage and God's Plan. The Holy Spirit has been poured out upon us as Christian couples in the sacrament of marriage and in our baptisms and being strengthened in confirmation. But we need to work with the Holy Spirit. He has given Himself to us, and it's absolutely essential that we pray as couples and we pray over one another and for our children for the power of the Holy Spirit to be stirred up within our lives, that we might have taken out of us the heart of stone and we might receive a heart of flesh, a heart of tenderness. It's a grave mistake to think we're going to be able to be married and rear our children in the power of our own flesh. So we need to learn to call on the Spirit of God and trust that He will empower us to do what needs to be done in our marriages and in our families.
It's really important. You know, I liken every day I pray that I would be filled afresh and anew with the Holy Spirit. It's like drinking coffee. To wake up this morning, I'm not going to drink a fresh cup of yesterday's coffee. I need new coffee. I like it hot. I like it with half and half. I like it sweetened. I want a fresh cup of coffee, that I would be filled. The same with the Holy Spirit, that I will, every day, I'm dependent on the Holy Spirit to transform, to empower, and to change me so that I could love the way God wants me to love, that I could serve my husband and serve my family the way God would have me to serve them.
Marriage and family is God's plan to transform the world, the whole world. And He has given to us in the sacrament of marriage His very Holy Spirit, His presence, that we would be confident, filled with courage, and unafraid to fulfill His plan for marriage and the family. God bless you and yours.
Now, here's an excerpt from the documentary Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, Servant of All.
On October 2nd, 1979, New York City was visited by Archbishop Sheen's old friend, the newly elected Pope John Paul II.
So many people were there. The church was crowded, maybe 4,000 or 5,000 people there.
As the Pope entered St. Patrick's Cathedral, someone led a very feeble Archbishop Sheen forward to meet him.
He knew the Pope as the man John Paul and as the vicar of Christ. He was meeting Christ there.
And yet, the Pope embraced him and did not allow him to kneel down in front of him. He had such a tremendous esteem of the bishop.
The picture captures it all. The Holy Father holds him in his arms, and of course that huge, vast, magnificent cathedral stood up and applauded. Fulton Sheen was an icon of the best of American Catholicism, and the Holy Father affirmed that.
I was 15 feet away from him. It was a special moment in my life.
As they embraced, the Pope spoke into the ears of Fulton Sheen a blessing and an affirmation.
You have written and spoken well of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a loyal son of the church. And that's what he wanted to be, and to have it come from Peter was important to him.
What was stripped away in that moment, it wasn't about the TVME or the radio messages or the 60 books. It was about what he wrote and what he said and how he lived his life.
It's the culmination of a whole life when the Pope can embrace you and say, "You've been a loyal son of the church," and he was.
For more information about the documentary, Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, Servant of All, go to EWTNReligiousCatalog.com or call 1-800-854-6316.